Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. Today, we are joined by Mr. Howard Ross, an author, social justice advocate, and thought leader on identifying and addressing unconscious bias. His latest book, Our Search for Belonging, How the Need for Connection is Tearing Our Culture Apart, explores how to bridge our increasing polarized society. Mr. Ross, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks so much, Eric. It's really great to be with you.
Yes, sir, and you're certainly welcome and looking forward to hearing from you on this topic today. So as we get things underway, how have we turned our natural need for belonging into an unhealthy, destructive extreme? Let's start there.
All right, great, Eric. Thanks. Yeah, I think, you know, it's no surprise to anybody that we have a particular need to fit into the groups that we're a part of. I mean, any of us who have had any example of peer pressure in our lives, you know, whether it's joining a group because other people were joining a group or doing something because people around us were doing it, even if we didn't especially want to, or the other side of it is not doing something we wanted to because nobody else wanted to. It could be as simple as going out in the evening and saying, I'm not going to have anything to drink tonight, and then everybody else orders a drink and you go ahead and order one. Or it could be making core decisions in our lives and going along, you know, this phenomenon of groupthink that we often run into. So that's a natural thing. We all want to fit into the groups we belong to. And we know from looking at the history of humanity that there's a reason for this, that there was, for the most of the time in recorded history, we couldn't survive just by ourselves. You know, it wasn't possible to just, you know, to be able to just sit and call food to be delivered to you. And if you were sick, you know, have support. And so if we were isolated from our tribe, if we were thrown out of our tribe or the clan that we were a part of, we likely didn't survive very long. And so we learned out of that survival need to fit in. Now, what's happened in our society today is that as we've gotten increasingly polarized, particularly around political ideology, fitting into one group means you've got to reject the other group, because that polarization has gotten so deep. And so, you know, the notion of compromise, for example, has become sinful. And so it's no longer that I disagree with you about a particular issue, whether it's civil rights or gun rights or foreign policy. It's now you're one of those kind of people. And we watch different news stations, we connect through different social media, we get different information. And so increasingly those two tribes are becoming much more distinct, and they're bonding against the other group as opposed to for something.
Certainly appreciate your perspective there. Now, how is our society promoting segregation into us and them? Talk to us about that as well.
Sure. And, you know, what's happening is, and you can see this on both sides of the political spectrum. I mean, I tend to be more on the, you know, on the liberal side, and, you know, but people on the conservative side would have the same attitudes about liberals. And you see it both ways, that there's, it's become more and more that there's an orthodox ideology that you have to buy into in order to believe. What's begun to happen is everything is framed in these false binaries, you know, sort of black and white distinctions as opposed to anything in the middle. And as we know, very few issues in life really exist in that kind of a binary. Most of them are a continuum from one extreme to the other. And so as a result of that, it's very hard, as I said, to stay in my group if I'm not willing to buy into the binary of my group. And you know, you see this play out in kind of silly ways when people automatically reject an idea because it came from a particular person. In fact, most people we know at this point determine what they're going to believe based on who else is believing it. You know, just to give you a specific example, Eric, after when the healthcare bill was being, the Affordable Care Act was being legislated in Congress, at Yale they did a study where they sent out to 1,200 people a copy of the Republican sort of agenda and a copy of the Democratic agenda, but they switched the names and they asked people which they believed in. And 75% said that they believed in something that they actually didn't believe in simply because it had their party's name on it. So we've actually stopped thinking for ourselves. We're waiting for other people to tell us what to think. You know, if you watch the news, we almost never watch the news anymore. We watch people watching the news. We turn onto a news station and see this whole panel of pundits who are ready to tell us how to interpret the news before we've even seen it. So we've given up our thinking capability in order to fit in with the group.
Mr. Ross, certainly do appreciate your comments. They're most helpful as well. Now, what may be the consequences if society continues to fuel divisiveness?
Well, I don't think it's a stretch to say that, and some people I know have said this, that we're almost in a cold civil war right now. I mean, thank God we're not shooting at each other, but or at least not in any major way. We certainly had these incidents of people acting out. But we have gotten to the point where it really feels almost like we're in, you know, armed camps. And if it continues, we can only speculate, you know, what happens, for example, you know, as we get into this next presidential campaign. We already see, you know, how the toxicity is dominating it. And, you know, what happens if, you know, whoever wins, the other side rejects that winner. And we can anticipate that happening. We've seen it happen already with President Trump this time. And we certainly could anticipate that if he loses next time, similar thing would happen on the other side. In fact, before that, we know that, you know, Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Senate, majority leader of the Senate, after President Obama was elected, the first thing he said was our prime agenda is to stop him. And so this is kind of the mindset we have right now. It's just not to get things done. It's to stop the opposition. And we see already what the cost of that is, and that we don't get anything done. And even if we do get something done, it's just a matter of the next person coming in to undo it. And then we start all over again, treaties with other nations or policies and procedures or, you know, environmental moves we make or whatever. And so, you know, here we had the Iran deal and secure. So we had, and then President Trump comes in and he says, almost just to spite Obama, we're going to throw that deal out. Now here we are again in conflict with Iran. So we can see the potential that this leaves us in for continuous conflict. And not only that, you know, we can try to put ourselves in the shoes of other countries and say, well, gee, do I want to deal with a country where I make a deal with them today, but if in 2 years somebody else takes over, they're going to cancel that deal and it's no longer good. We're back to square one. So it not only hurts us from the standpoint of our own internal culture, but potentially has disastrous effects on our ability to function with the rest of the world.
Certainly do appreciate your stance here today. We're joined by Howard Ross, author of his latest book, Our Search for Belonging, How the Need for Connection is Tearing Our Culture Apart, exploring how to bridge our increasing polarized society. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Mr. Ross, how can we or what can we do personally to bridge these divides?
Yeah. Thanks, Eric. And I think there are things that we can do. You know, I think as individuals, first of all, I think we have to recognize that as citizens of our democracy, we have something to say about the discourse in our country. And I think a lot of it starts with individuals reaching out to each other. And I want to be really clear with people. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having strong political opinions. I have very strong political opinions, strong points of view, but I try to remember that they're points of view. And I try when I interact with each other, with other people about it, because I consciously go out onto social media and other places and try to interact with people who I disagree with to see if we can have civil conversations. We disagree, you know, strongly about the issues. We may have strong debates about the issues, but we do it without demonizing each other, without calling each other names and things like that. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out, and I realize that this isn't somebody who's capable of having that conversation, so I cut it off. But often I've developed relationships with people over time who I disagree with, but you know, and I'm not talking about the Richard Spencers or David Dukes of the world, but I'm talking about people who are reasonable people who just see the world differently. And I find that to be really important because I allow myself to get into their world and see why these issues are important to them. Even if they're not important to me for the same reasons, at least I have a better understanding of them. So I think it starts with doing that, reaching out and connecting with people and sharing why is this important to me and what am I concerned about the other point of view. And you know, what are the questions that I might have wanted to ask somebody from that point of view that I've never had a chance to ask, and questions like that. And then the second is to really start to make a conscious point of trying to understand the point of view by watching and listening to multiple media sources, to not allow yourself to put yourself in a bubble, almost like an echo chamber of your own creation by only watching one news station or one particular source of news stations. You know, so if you only watch Fox News and Breitbart and you know, that kind of conservative side, or if you only watch MSNBC and read the Huff Post, you're not getting a very fulsome view of, you know, of what's going on in the world. You're only getting it from one point of view. And even if it's a point of view you agree with, you lose the ability to understand that there are good people who might disagree, even if in content they disagree with you, but they're still good, decent people who just see the world differently.
And once again, I appreciate your opinion and perspective. They're much appreciated and most helpful. Now, what can businesses, looking at businesses and organizations, what can they do to create inclusion? Talk to us about that.
Look, I think that this is, I think we're at a place in our history where the role of businesses in contributing to this is critical. Because if when you think about it, the workplace is one of the few places these days that people get together with people who are different from them. You know, we segregate in most areas of our lives, but at the workplace, you don't get to choose who you work with. So if you're sitting at in a cubicle next to somebody who's got completely opposite political points of view than you, and your boss says, I want the two of you to put together this proposal for me or put together this project for me, you don't have any choice. You know, you've got to roll up your sleeves and get to work with that person. And so I think at work, we can help people by teaching them to have courageous conversations, to bring people together and have some of these difficult conversations. I mean, Caroline Wonga, who's the chief diversity officer at Target, regularly brings people together to talk about difficult issues that might affect their employees, whether it's the Muslim ban or transgender bathrooms or dealing with different policies. James Momon, who's at General Mills, does similar kinds of things. And I think that those kinds of efforts on the part of business not only contribute to the business itself having more cohesion, working together more effectively, but also contributes to societal healing in the fact that once I put a name to somebody, I stop stereotyping them as much. We might say that the more we know each other for who we are, the less we treat each other like what we are. And so if I brand somebody as a Trump voter, you know, or a Hillary voter, and that already gives me a whole characterization of everything they believe in. And then I talk to one of them and I realize, well, they actually don't believe in all of that stuff. They voted for him or for her, you know, because they were kind of 55% more in one camp than the other. But that doesn't mean they buy lock, stock, and barrel. And then all of a sudden we begin to get a more fulsome view of the people we're talking about.
Great food for thought, and not only that, but it would be appreciative if folks took action in a positive way and took heed to some of the information shared here today. Mr. Ross, really good stuff here and a great focus. Really appreciate the book that you took the time to write, Our Search for Belonging. If listeners wanted to pick up the book or get more information on you or the book, where's the best place online to get these details?
Yeah, the book, Our Search for Belonging, is available at all major booksellers. So if they go, you know, you can go anywhere online, or most major bookstores that at this point are carrying it. For me, if they just reach out at www.howardjross.com, and there'll be information there as to how to contact me.
And that certainly does work. Again, all the best. Thanks so much, Mr. Ross, for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Much appreciated.
Eric, I really appreciate you having me. Thanks so much.
And you're most welcome, and it certainly was our pleasure. We've been speaking with Mr. Howard Ross, an author, social justice advocate, and thought leader on identifying and addressing unconscious bias. His latest book, Our Search for Belonging, How the Need for Connection is Tearing Our Culture Apart, explores how to bridge our increasing polarized society. And for more information and for contact, visit howardjross.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.